Hello and welcome to the 4th & Inches College podcast with your host, myself, Nick Loft. We have Sukhdeep Pooney.
Hello.
And Tristan Watkin.
Hey, guys.
I've mixed it up there, you know. I usually go Tristan and Sukhdeep, but to keep you on your toes, I've thrown it the other way around. But ladies and gents, thanks very much for joining us today. Yeah, we're ready to chat some college football. So it's the off-season. Expectations of the draft are raising every week. Of course, we've got free agency first, but that's no interest of us here. Interested in college football. It's all about the draft, and that's the chance to see the shiny new toys of the NFL and who the new guys on the block are going to be. And we had a deep dive last week into the quarterbacks, our first kind of analysis on some of the best quarterbacks in this year's draft, where we think they're going to go, because obviously, you know, if a quarterback is QB5, does QB5 mean top 10 pick still, or does QB5 mean second round? You know, we're trying to give you guys a gauge on where we think these guys are going to go to, based on what we've watched, what we're hearing around the league and around, you know, all these analysts as their draft stock goes up and down continuously right until April 20, whatever it is, and draft night. So, first of all, gents, how have we been this week?
Yeah,
fine. Not bad. Busy.
Yeah, very busy. Usual with work now. Homeschooling, obviously, we've had the latest news come from Boris. So, schools will be reopening now on the 8th of March. So, that will mean I have a bit more time to watch game film, which is always positive.
Nice. Interesting. You've been busy, you say?
Yeah, just work and whatnot. Just odds and ends. I haven't been watching again. Like, so I've not watched as much tape the last couple of days, weeks, as I'd like to.
Yeah, me too. As I said, just kind of settling into my life in my first house. Obviously, did the podcast last week from boxes and boxes of boxes, because it was day two or day three of the new house. But now we are surrounded by less boxes and more built furniture, so yeah, right direction and all. Right, gents, let's get cracking. So we are going to talk about running backs. Obviously, last year we didn't do this podcast, but it was a pretty good class of running backs last year. If we look back on how they affected their teams, you know, I don't know how many running backs sort of took over the jobs of their teams, but let's try and name a few. Obviously, we've got the big shock, the big surprise was James Robinson out of was it Arkansas State? Was it, where did he go? Illinois State. Undrafted free agent and ended up being the Jags starting running back, taking Leonard Fournette's job. And he did fantastically well. But any of the running backs that you guys liked a lot last year?
Cam Akers for me. Was very impressed with him. He didn't start off with too many carries at the beginning of the season, but towards the second part of the season, he really came on, and he was quite a big part in the playoffs as well for them, to be honest. So I'm expecting big things from him from a fantasy and an overall team perspective for the Rams. I think he's going to be a good running back for the next few years, potentially even a Pro Bowl running back, to be honest.
Akers, second round out of Florida State. Tristan, what about you?
As a player for me, I liked him coming out. Didn't expect him to be quite as impactful for the Chiefs as a rookie as he was. He had some massive games, some good fantasy numbers, and I think late first round pick wasn't bad value.
For me, it had to be Jonathan Taylor for the Colts. First, second round pick out of Wisconsin. I was so glad to see him gone out of the Big Ten, if I'm honest, because he was just an absolute beast freight train. He literally just churned up yards. Like, I think he had a 2,000-yard season as well to finish his career at college. He was unbelievable. And I was shocked that he... Because for me, he was running back number one. He's definitely... I mean, one of the things that definitely swung it for Edwards-Helaire getting the nod as running back number one is because of his ability to catch passes out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Definitely Jonathan Taylor. Although Taylor actually ended up getting a lot more running receiving yards than I expected. But Taylor's definitely a better every down back than Edwards-Helaire. But Edwards-Helaire is just he's a bit of a joystick, isn't he? He can do so much. You know, if he's not having a great rushing game, he could go off for 80 receiving yards and touchdown. So, and he definitely fit the Chiefs' offense nicely. But yeah, just spitballing some other names. Antonio Gibson obviously had a great year with Washington. Zach Moss, out of Utah with the Bills. Trying to think of other guys who came in. J.K. Dobbins. That's who I was thinking of earlier. J.K. Dobbins. I knew I was missing a running back, which I was in my top three. J.K. Yeah. Dobbins taking the job from Mark Ingram at the Baltimore Ravens.
Keyshawn Vaughn for the Bucks. Hasn't done too much, but at the end of the day, he's still learning as well. You never know, obviously, with the way free agency goes, if we can't tie up Leonard Fournette to a contract, he might see more carries this year. But he did okay when he came on, to be honest. He did a job, nothing too overwhelming, underwhelming either. So fair play to him.
Mm-hmm. Detroit Lions obviously got DeAndre Swift, who's done pretty well for them. Trying to think of anyone else. The Chargers, Josh Kelly saw a lot of playing time when Austin Ekeler went down. And yeah, we saw guys towards the end of the season, Darrington Evans in Tennessee. We saw, I've seen a little bit of Eno Benjamin out of Arizona State, who went to the Arizona Cardinals. DJ Dallas started to get some playing time for the Seahawks. He went to Miami, I believe. So there's so many.
AJ Dillon, you mentioned before.
From Boston College at the Packers. He's very much a powerhouse. First and goal at the two, you'd want to put AJ Dillon in, don't you? That's that kind of guy. But we shift our focus to this year. And before we start, is it fair, guys? I'd love to hear your opinion. Me personally, I don't think this running back class is as strong as last year. I think there's a couple of guys at the top, and then I think it falls off quite a lot. And we definitely, in my opinion, definitely going to see somebody that, I don't feel like, because James Robinson was the one of last year, but I really think that there's going to be somebody this year, and it could be anyone outside the top five or six running backs in the draft that is the major star. I don't know who to call it. I haven't got one yet, but what do you think of this year's running back class, Tristan?
Yeah, there's four for me. There's four really good running backs that I like a lot. Sell yourself on, and then once you get past that four, it starts to get a little bit. There's some role players there are there's no one I really love. I think there's you can find someone who can do a role your Trey Sermons, your Chubba Hubbards, people that they'll have a role in a team, but I just don't see them being an every down starting running back.
Giving away some secrets early there, Tristan, with some of our names. Suck.
Yeah, I think this year, pretty much even like last year, really. I mean, there wasn't a running back that's going to be a generational type of running back, like Adrian Peterson's or Ezekiel Elliott's. You're going to find that a lot of the picks either go really late in the first or, the first pick may not even be in the first round. It's a difficult sort of gauge depending on, if a team particularly loves a player. So it's not going to be a generational type of running back, but I do think there's talent there at sort of the lower end of the draft. And hopefully there'll be one or two. One of the guys I'm going to talk about later on, I think is going to have a really good career as a free down back, but we'll go into that later.
Do you know what? I was slightly hurt, but also kind of, I'm going to sadly admit to this. Obviously, I've got my college football head on, and when you said like generational backs, I went to Ezekiel Elliott in my head first before think of my own generational running back and Saquon Barkley.
Ezekiel was woeful last year as well, to be fair. It's just having Saquon, obviously having that injury as well, sometimes you do tend to forget about him. Even C-Mac was a talk the year before, and even this year, like, you know, it's even like he may not be talked about as sort of number one running back. You know, it's flavors change very quickly in the NFL when it comes to running backs. You know, 1 minute it's Christian McCaffrey and the next we're talking about Derrick Henry, you know. So it just changes, doesn't it? I look at Melvin Gordon a couple of years back, how highly he was regarded. So it does change.
Very true. Very true. The Big Ten has produced quite a lot of some of these stars. You know, I mean, you can do it with every conference, I'm sure, but probably the Big Ten and the SEC are the main two. But Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, Jonathan Taylor. There's been some good running backs in the Big Ten, but we're not going to start in the Big Ten. We're going to start in the SEC. Sukhdeep, we've basically done this kind of draft style, didn't we, guys? And just like we did with the quarterbacks. And Sukh, you got the number one overall pick.
Oh, wasn't it you?
Did I go?
You
first?
Went first, mate.
You did.
Oh. All right, then. I went first. Okay. So there's two guys for me at the sort of top end, and they're just very, very, very similar style players. And there's going to be a constant argument between which one of these guys deserves to be the first running back off the board. I've gone with the one that I slightly prefer. For me, my running back number one this year is Najee Harris out of Alabama. He's a senior, 6'2", 230 pounds. He's a big guy. Part of that Crimson Tide team that obviously won the college football championship this year. A lot of people expected him to come out the draft last year, but I think that he decided to stay. To be fair, he had a 1,200 yard season in 2019, but he decided to stay because I think he saw some of the running backs that were coming out. You know, guys like Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift, who put together 1,500 yard seasons twice over, and he thought, you know, well, probably for my stock, I'm probably going to have to delay a year. In my opinion, I don't think his stock has risen much. I thought he was still expected to be a second round back last year, and I still think that none of us, when we did our mock drafts, had a running back going any higher than, I think it was any higher than 31st. And if we did have a team taking a running back, it was literally with one of the last picks of the first round. So sort of Clyde Edwards-Helaire territory. But I think I might have been the only one who projected a running back to go in the first round.
I think I might have taken one for Miami. I can't remember now, though, but I'm pretty sure I did.
Did you?
But to be honest with you, my opinion has changed on that. But
okay,
we'll move on from that.
But that's the thing. So I think we're all in agreement that if we think a running back's going to go, it's probably going to be late first round, a bit like what happened last year. But Najee Harris finished this season with 1,466 yards. Obviously a shortened season. We're not going to see any 2,000-yard seasons from anybody this year due to COVID. But what I like and what I don't like about Najee Harris, first of all, he is built like an NFL-ready running back. That is something. 6'2", 230 pounds. He's actually probably got a bigger, heavier frame than the majority of your running backs coming in. Who are of that height. He is a really, really strong athletic. He can do... He reminds me a bit... Well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a bit more elusive than Harris. Harris is a bigger, stronger guy. I'm just watching, I think... I can't remember what game it was, but I remember seeing... Oh, it was against South Carolina, when he just absolutely like Derrick Henry and Josh Norman style. When he just like push a player, like stiff arm. The guy came launching at him and stiff armed him, and then the next guy he hurdled, and then he managed to drag his body into the end zone. It was a fantastic play. And that's what Harris can do. He is super strong. He's got great vision. One of the things that's really key, and I think this is from, you know, you get this from an Alabama running back. You know, they are known for producing some of the best running backs in the NFL. Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram, Josh Jacobs, just to name a few. But his vision is a huge asset of his. You know, he has great patience when it comes to trying to find a gap, or, you know, he isn't just a head down runner. And he also is always good at falling forward. I know that a lot of guys are, but he's very good at sort of falling forward those extra few yards. As I said, you know, guys like CEH are very nimble and quick. Harris is really good in the sort of screen pass, swing pass game. You know, a team doesn't have to just hand it to him. He's not necessarily, you have to literally just hand it to him and run. He's a guy who I can imagine getting sort of, you know, 300, 400 receiving yards. Definitely if you want to use him in trick plays and stuff like that. He's going to be it. And I think this year, going back to some of his key games, you know, the game against LSU, 145 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had 425 receiving yards this year. So if you add it up, he's just shy of 1,900 all-purpose yards. And against Florida as well in the Rose Bowl, not the Rose Bowl, in the SEC Championship game, he had 3 receiving touchdowns and 2 rushing touchdowns. I think he had 250 all-purpose yards. This guy can do it pretty much all. And he's definitely going to be a great asset to any offense that take him. They will work about getting him into the game. So it seems like I've just absolutely built him up. And what have I not said? Like, he's strong. He's elusive. He's got a great stiff arm. They can use him in swing pass and screen pass. The thing about Harris that I've noticed with a lot of running backs in this, now, if you watch Harris play, it is vision and his ingenuity that gets him some of these yards, some of these plays. But one of the things that he seems to lack, which someone like a Saquon Barkley could turn into a house call, is that he does not have top end speed. You know, like if he can match himself up to catch a pass, which not most running backs would not see to make that move, or they could not draw up that play to find him. But he's not necessarily going to turn that into a house call. He might get caught about 15, 20 yards downfield. And that's one of his things. He's just not really quick. You know, so home run hitting big plays aren't necessarily always his style. And if they are, it's just down to him demonstrating how intelligent he is on the football field. But another thing I'd say is that he's a big guy. He needs to use it more. There are occasions when I watched some of the footage track of him in Alabama, is that like against smaller DBs, because again, he often gets matched up against DBs when he's in the passing game. Use your strength, man. You're like, in some places, he's like 4 or 5 inches bigger, maybe like 20, 30 pounds heavier. He needs to be able to run them over. He needs to be able to kind of use that strength as an asset. This stiff arm play and this hurdle. He loved a hurdle in his last season. I saw him try it quite a few times. But the second thing is something you can teach. Speed is something that's going to be tough, and that might be the thing that draws him. If he had the speed, he had the home run ability of like a Saquon Barkley, Harris would probably go in top 10. But I think that speed and that burst is something that is, unfortunately, you know, we're talking about Trey Lance as a quarterback. Was it Zach Wilson. What were the things, one of my things against Zach Wilson? It's the competition, blah, 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 blah. But these things are nothing to do with his game Unfortunately for Harris, speed is very important for a running back. And therefore, I think that really, if he had that speed, that home run hit, he would be going in a place similar to like Saquon Barkley up there. But he doesn't, and that's why he's going to be a back end first round, probably early second round guy. But yeah, he's probably my running back number one. It's tough. Like, if anyone argues the next guy who Suk's going to bring up, I can't argue that. It's so tough for me. Two running backs on two of the biggest programs in the nation. But yeah, Najee Harris is my number one running back. Where can I see him going? I had him mocked to the Bucks because I just like to, you know, have a bit of interest, a bit of fun with it. My reasoning was that if the Bucks, you know, don't want to pay Leonard Fournette, and they're rolling with Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn, I think when you're a team like the Bucks and you've just won a Super Bowl, that's a chance to kind of add a player that you wouldn't usually add to your team. And I thought, imagine giving Brady a guy like Najee Harris out the back. I think it'd be fantastic for them. I think he'd have a similar effect to what Edwards-Helaire has had on this Chiefs team. He's a very Harris, very different style running back to Leonard Fournette. But yeah, Harris is my number one overall back. What's your guys' opinions on Najee Harris?
Justin?
Yeah, he has that frame. I don't think he always uses it as well as he should. I don't think he's the most, like, for someone with his physical attributes, he's not a physical runner. Like, I just don't see it enough. Like, for me, he's my running back three, but between my top three, there's not a massive jump. Like, I'm not saying he's running back three, Nick's miles off the mark. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's two more that I prefer. But there's a lot of things to like about Najee Harris. I think, well, for me, he reminds me a lot of Mark Ingram, another Bama back. There's a lot of similarities there. He's just a bit of probably a better pass catcher coming out. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had a similar career. Never set the league on fire, but was a solid running back you could rely on. He's not going to be the engine of your offense, but he's going to be a good complementary piece.
Yeah, for me, he's there with two other players as potentially being the number one running back on my board. But I think I'd have to sort of go with the consensus because the other one that I'm thinking of is nowhere near anyone else's number one running back. So it's a bit of a controversial one, that one. But for me, yeah, I can see. Yeah, I mean, if Najee Harris was drafted to the Bucks, I could see that. I wouldn't be too unhappy with that, to be honest. But like you said, it's, you know, is he sort of that generational type? I think, yeah, like you say, Ingram is probably a good sort of comparison there, Tristan. But quite nervous about the next one I'm going to talk about because I know Tristan's going to be having his eyes and ears to this one. So I'm going to be talking about Travis Etienne. Sorry, Nick, I know I jumped in, but I thought it was the right time to do that anyway, if that's all right.
No, go for it.
We'll move on to Travis Etienne, who's the running back I'm going to talk from Clemson. So four-star recruit, the ACC all-time rusher, stayed on for 4 years. Similar to Najee Harris, a lot of people expected him to sort of, you know, go to the draft last year. He stayed on for his senior season. In terms of the season from a rushing standpoint, a lot less yards compared to his junior season, even the sophomore season, in which, you know, he rushed for 1,658 yards. But he also had obviously a lot less carries and the average went down. But one thing that's interesting this year, he's been used a lot more in sort of the passing game. So Trevor Lawrence has used him in a lot of sort of, you know, those check down plays, which he's improved vastly on. If you look at his sophomore year, he only had 12 receptions for around 78 yards, whereas now he sort of, you know, tripled that to 48 with 586 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So, you know, he's showing that he can be sort of, you know, a dual threat as well, not just sort of a running back. He's also a pass catcher as well, which is something he's, you know, definitely improved on in the last couple of years. So, because obviously some of the footage and, you know, reports that I was reading that when he initially
was at Clemson, he was a bit sort of scared. I wouldn't say the word scared, but he had some concerns in that sort of field in terms of pass catching. But he certainly, definitely, you know, improved that part of his game. So from that standpoint, a lot of people may question his decision to sort of stay on. But I think from a, I think overall he's probably improved in a way. Maybe the stats don't show that, but he's got more weapons in his repertoire. Sure, the 2019 season he's had more, you know, counter yards, you know, if he had the rushing and receiving yards, but he's definitely got something about him now. In terms of what I like about Travis Etienne, forgot to mention, so he's, for those of you not sure about the measurables, he's 5'10". And I believe he's just a bit above 200 pounds. I think 205 pounds maybe is the last I sort of checked. Obviously, we'll know in the sort of pro days. But for me, he's got, you know, great frontline speed, which I know is something you mentioned about Najee Harris as well. So one thing you have to consider as well is, Tristan, you probably remember this. Do you remember what Isaiah Simmons 40-yard dash score was last year? It was quite good, wasn't it?
4.3 something.
Yeah, so
4.34.
Exact, something like that. And there's footage of literally Travis Etienne beating him in a 40-yard dash or coming close to it. So I'm going to be quite excited to see, you know, how he measures up in the 40-yard dash, because if it's anywhere near Isaiah Simmons, you know, people are going to get really excited about that speed that this kid has got. So I think that's one thing, you know, definitely that he possesses. Already mentioned the pass catching ability as well that he's got now. The other thing as well is contact balance. So he stays on his feet. You know, I think he's in terms of yards after being touched, he's definitely, you know, one of the front liners in the NFL and college ball. So, you know, contact balance is something that's very important, because you're going to get obviously these defensive players putting those tackles in, and if he can hold them off and keep that balance and keep that speed going, that's a vital ingredient to have in the NFL. The last thing you want is someone, you know, as soon as he gets touched, you know, just go down. So I think yards after contact as well, he can break tackles, ball security as well. I don't recall seeing any sort of fumbles last year on the stat sheet. Tristan, once again, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Last year were a bit more problematic fumble wise. He hasn't had fumble issues prior to that. He coughed a few up last year. It was out of character for him to cough them up. But no, he coughed up 3 or 4 times last year.
Oh, he did,
which
okay.
Is out of character.
Yeah. In terms of sort of negative things, we've talked about, you know, running backs now not only needing to sort of be, you know, good runners, but also playing pass protection. A lot of, you know, running backs now are needed, you know, a part of the offensive scheme. And, you know, pass protection is something that potentially could you know, need working on. But then again, when you're drafting a running back at that point, you know, like a first round, you kind of just need them to do the business in the running game. I mean, I didn't see too much of this, Tristan, but a lot of reports I was reading saying that he doesn't change direction when he's running, like he runs too straight. Now, some of the footage I seen, I actually saw quite a bit of him running to the side and changing direction. So what are your sort of thoughts on that one? Because for me, I
think he doesn't turn direction, like,
it's not
a hip move.
Yeah,
it's not a smooth hip movement with him. He uses his footwork a little more. When he changes direction, he does like little stutter steps forward, backwards, side to side. He almost uses it a bit like a wide receiver. You know, so a wide receiver comes off the line, they get to the DB and they're trying to shake him.
Yeah,
he almost does that in the open field. He doesn't like spin or juke as much.
No.
He tries to confuse defenders with his feet and create separation that way. So yeah, I can see why people say with Travis that like his change of direction isn't fluid. It's serviceable, and I think he has a frame you can work on it. It's just not a skill he's completely developed.
Yeah, exactly. Because I kept reading that on some of the reports I was reading, and when I was actually looking at the footage, I thought, no, I mean, there was a game I saw against Wake Forest where he sort of changed direction quite nicely, I thought, and sort of, you know, tricked the defenses. In terms of his sort of best games, I mean, a lot of people point probably to his sophomore year and the junior year, but I do want to point out a more recent game. I thought the Miami game, you know, he looked pretty good as well. He had 149 yards for 2 touchdowns. Obviously, he had the Notre Dame game as well, you know, the bowl game as well. So for me, you know, there are definitely 2 games in which you can watch him. There's a couple of games against Boston College as well, which I thought, you know, were good watches. I don't like to sort of mention this game because although he broke his sort of record, but the is it Wofford they call them, because they're obviously small time opposition, but that's certainly one where if you want to see some, you know, nice big plays, you know, it's a game that I'd sort of recommend, but it's not against high caliber opposition, so you have to take some of that with a pinch of salt. You know, it's like you were sort of talking about last week with some, you know, QB performances. Sometimes you've got to look at who the opposition is as well. But for me, I think, you know, from a speed perspective, he's definitely going to wow people on his pro day. You know, if he runs anything like Isaiah Simmons, you know, you know how quickly, you know, these people get excited about these, you know, 40 dash times. So, and given the fact that he's got contact balance as well in his repertoire, I think, you know, there's no reason why he can't go ahead being the number one running back. I think it's just going to depend on team fit, really. In terms of comparisons, once again, some reports are sort of saying, compared him to sort of Alvin Kamara as a comparison, which, you know, at the end of the day, he's a... we hate doing these comparisons because it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to end up being like that player. But at the end of the day, if you're compared anything to Alvin Kamara, you know, you're going to have a decent NFL career. So... yeah, it'll be interesting, but I think it's just going to depend on team fit, on who gets picked first out of those two guys. As I said, the one that I also like is he's not going to be anywhere near sort of the first round, so it'll be interesting. But yeah, Travis Etienne, enjoyed watching a lot of his footage.
I'll give you a quick player comparison that I thought of. I think he's a better version of Giovanni Bernard, the Bengals second choice running back. I think he's they're very similar in the way they play. I think Etienne's better, but I think they're very similar. He can do a lot. Yeah, he went back to school purely to work on his pass game. He had no pass catching ability up to that point. And a running back of his size, stature, at the next level, the pass game is something he's going to have to learn to do, which is why I think he went back.
Another comparison I heard was Raheem Mostert as well, which, you know, he's certainly someone from a pass catching ability now is done well at the 49ers. So, yeah, there's somewhere, you know, one of those types of teams would be quite beneficial for him, I think. Where would you like to see him go?
This is interesting. Because it depends on a few other moves, because he needs to go to a certain scheme. Like, he can't just be plodded anywhere. I don't think he works in Miami. I've seen a lot of people mock him to Miami. I just don't see that Miami offense working for him. Someone like the Chiefs would have been really good for Etienne, but obviously they've got CEH. So I'm just trying to think of, like...
I think with Miami, I think the problem is no running backs really worked in the last sort of decade or so, really, have they? Even Kenyon Drake had his struggles there, didn't he? So it's hard to mock anyone and think they're going to be a success in Miami, but you never know, really, with Etienne. I think he's still got the skill level to do that. It just depends on, obviously, how they work him.
He could. There's a lot of places he could go as part of, if you're going to get a good 1-2 punch, if you're going to rotate your running back, that he would work. There's not many spots that I like him as a complete, you know, number one running back on his own. There's not many schemes that work for him. That's why he's my running back two in this class. The reason he's not number one is you can't just put him somewhere without having to change a bit of your offense. And that's why, So I can't answer your questions, but I'm thinking this is I'm rambling, trying to think, and I keep talking myself out of suggesting something. So I'm just going to say I'm not sure.
Detroit, maybe? Jared Goff, you know, with his... Shut down.
I feel like they'll move on from Swift.
And I think him and Swift are similar. I don't think you want two of the same back.
Yeah, I forgot about Swift, if I'm being honest. Completely dead. That just shows you what I think of the Detroit running backs. I was still thinking Kerryon Johnson.
I was just going to say on Etienne. I like Etienne a lot. I think he's the best running back in this draft, top end, where speed is kind of the main factor. I think, apart from the fact that Tristan's a Clemson fan, I think that Tristan preferring Etienne over Harris is complements the debate where he prefers Waddle over Devonta Smith, because I think in both cases, I think one is more of a speed demon that can, you know, if you can get it to him over the top, he is gone. But I think that Devonta Smith and I think Najee Harris are a bit more, have a higher football IQ. I see a lot more of, and again, this might be appropriation in terms of the team they play for, but I see a lot more, the best wide receiver in last year's draft is up for debate, but the most intelligent route running receiver in last year's draft is still, in my opinion, Jerry Jeudy. And I think that there's something about Smith's game, and again, there's something about Harris's game, where I just find that they kind of play intelligently. I think Harris is one of the key things, and I guess it depends on how much a team values this. We don't as much, or your average fan doesn't as much, but Harris is a lot better in pass protection than Etienne is. Etienne struggles mightily. And that is something that it depends on how, you know, scouts look at these things. But it's a bit to me like I see Henry Ruggs as a more of a home run hitter than CeeDee Lamb is than Jerry Jeudy is. I find it seems to be a bit of the Bama way almost, that I don't know if it's from Nick Saban's coaching or something like that, but these guys, if Harris can't run faster than Etienne, he never will be able to. But maybe, in my opinion, he plays a little bit smarter. And that's the only way that he's going to keep up with a guy like Etienne, who's just so quick.
Yeah, the reason I have Etienne over Harris is I agree. I think Harris is probably the smarter football player. I just think some of his speed deficiencies and some of the negatives, I think the NFL might catch him out a little bit more. I think he's one of these backs that college suits. And Etienne isn't as good a back at the moment, but I think what Etienne will be able to do with some of his speed and physical traits will be able to hide a little bit more behind things in the NFL to make a career. It's not, like I say, both of these are my running back 2 and 3, and it's not a lot in between them. Like, it's way...
Oh, is Etienne your running back number 2?
Yeah, Harris is my 3.
Oh, okay. We get to your running back number 1. Okay. And is the guy that you've got next?
Yes.
Your running back number 1. Oh, okay. I didn't actually, because yeah, but if it's I'm going to throw this out there. If it's the guy who I think it is, he's one, actually I'll let you talk and then I'll speak after. When you're finished, let's see who you got.
So you know when you're watching film on someone, and you weren't expecting to sort of love them as much as you did, and you just watch their tape, and the only word I can use to describe it is you get a bit of a crush for a prospect.
Mm.
I've got a bit of a crush for the running back who I think is running back number 1. I don't think he's running back number 1 day 1. I don't think he goes into the NFL as running back number 1. He may not be better than the other 2 as a rookie. But this running back, what I sort of see, and a lot of things similar, he's a poor man's Christian McCaffrey. He has a lot of the same traits as Christian McCaffrey did going into the NFL. And McCaffrey took a few years to develop it. Now, I'm not saying he has the upside level that's quite up there, but he could. And my running back number 1 is University of Memphis, Kenneth Gainwell. I just, when I watched that tape from 2019, and I know there's another one of these players that didn't play last year because of COVID, the tape isn't quite as recent. Speed, explosiveness in the run game. He runs in between tacklers for a guy of his size a little better than you expect. He's a wicked pass catcher. He's just got all the things you sort of want to like build a blueprint with. He's not a finished article though. And that's why I don't think he'll go before the other two running backs, even though I have him rated higher. I think he has wonderful vision anticipation. He has, all the things. And the one thing, again, like Harris doesn't have, but Etienne has, Kenneth Gainwell also has home run ability. If he gets through a hole into space, goodbye, he's gone. One problem is his size for him. Obviously, he's 5'11", 191. And there's risk whether he can bulk up. And the fact that you can't use him in... Really, once you get within the 10-yard line, you have to have a different back. He can impact your offense all over the field, but you would also need to have a guy behind him who's a bit more power back. Yeah. But for me, his upside is unbelievable. And I just, like I say, see a lot of Christian McCaffrey where you can run him, you can screen him, you can send him on the swing pass, and he's just going to go and make a play. And I just see, again, upside is the key word here for Gainwell with me. I just see so much upside. And that's why he's my favourite running back in this draft.
You are right, though, about the... someone being 5'11", you'd expect him to be sort of touching around the 200-pound mark, wouldn't you, rather than being... What figure did he say it was?
191 is where I... That's the figure I've got. This, again, that's not... I don't know what his figures are going to be until sort of pro days and things like that. And again, it's... The thing we need to figure out is, can he bulk up much more on that frame? That might hold him back. And again, he's not the greatest pass protector. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be a great blitz pickup back. But again, you're probably not going to be putting him in pass protection if he's a vocal part of your offense. He's probably a bit like, you don't see Christian McCaffrey sitting in pass pro very often.
One of the things I was just going to say on Gainwell is one thing that we're talking about with Gainwell is potential, because his 2019 with Memphis was outstanding. Truly was. He had 2,000 all-purpose yards. He had 16 touchdowns through the air and on the ground. Do you see there's any way, and I'll finish my first point, do you see any way possible that Gainwell can go running back one, considering he's played one season of college football?
No, because you don't...
And he opted out.
Yeah, the answer to me is no, just because, again, when you're banking on potential, I think that you're going to wait for him to come to you. You're not going to move up to get him. You're not going to overdraft him. And with his stock where it currently is, I say he's mid to late second round pick. I think that's where the talent is.
Mm.
Do I think he has potential to be the best running back coming out of this class? Absolutely. And again, like I said at the beginning, a little bit of this is me, is I've just fallen for a prospect. And that happens from time to time. Yeah. One time I fell for a prospect. When I first started draft evaluating, everyone was loving Jadeveon Clowney, and I fell in love with this little linebacker out of Buffalo, and said to everyone who would bloody listen back in the day, Khalil Mack will be the best defensive player from this draft class. And I have the same sort of gut feeling about Mack as I do about Gainwell. Just something tells me he will fulfill that potential.
I think that's an absolutely beautiful segue, Tristan. Thank you very much. Ken, by the way, CBS Sports has Gainwell as running back number 5 on their board. But, I mean, they do have him at the 73rd pick, so that's early third round. But, again, they could be very well sleeping on this guy, for sure. But that's a perfect segue, Khalil Mack out of Buffalo. This guy isn't my running back number 4, but I tried to let Sukdeep talk about a running back, or at least half of a running back duo that he's enjoyed greatly watching this season. And I'm going to bring in a guy who I was the first guy to mention Patterson as my player of the week when he had a stupidly good week. But
I think it might have been one of you guys. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I think we both I think what happened was we both wanted to pick him, and we had to go with one, whoever it was. One of us had to do it, but I recall that. Yeah.
Well, either way, I remember picking him as my running back of the week. But I remember you picking him in the week where, because I thought what he did that week was, and I think we both did, but I got allowed to pick him. What he did that week, I thought was amazing. And then it was like the following week or something, he one-upped himself with a stupid, stupid game. So we are talking about a running back for the University of Buffalo. Thanks for the segue, Tristan. Jarrett Patterson. So a little bit on Jarrett Patterson. I had his details up. He is why do you put this in meters?
Oh, so got meters and kilos. That's never fun.
Yeah, ESPN. So he says he's 1.75 meters. So is he actually 5'7" something?
Ooh, I don't know Patterson. No. I don't know Patterson's measurables off the top of my head. I don't think he's a massively stout back, but I wouldn't say he's quite.
No, I know he's not. I know he's not that tall, but I didn't think he was that. That small. 5'9". He's 5'9", so that's pretty small. Not for an average. I'm just talking about for an NFL running back, and 195 pounds. So he's a bit stuffy. 195 pounds is not super heavy, but for a guy 5'9", fair enough. But what he has done in college, and especially this year, has got people standing up and noticing this guy. He's a junior as well, so he is coming out early. But 3 years, 3,000-yard seasons. Wow. 2018 is freshman year. He had 1,013 yards. He was a yard off 1,800 in last season. And then this year, in the COVID season, he had 1,000 yards. Was it 1,013? But he had 1,000 yards. He played six games and had 1,000. Technically, actually, he hit 1,000 after playing his fifth game. Come on. What? 1,000 yards off 5 college football games. I don't care what level it is. It's division one football. That is stupid.
You have to take into account read the opponent list for Jarrett Patterson.
You do. But this is the thing. Like, would Zach Wilson be anywhere near the? I mean, Zach Wilson played for BYU, and look at the schools that he played against. But we're still talking about him being a top 10, maybe top 5 pick. Jarrett Patterson, yes, not playing against the best schools. I mean,
Kent State, who have you played against? The Golden Flashes.
Northern Illinois, Miami, Ohio, Bowling Green, Kent State and Akron. Yeah, they're not great teams, but the thing is, Patterson's not just looked like an above average running back in that division. I mean, he's looked unplayable. Like, against Kent State, he had 409 yards and 8 touchdowns. I don't care who you are. That's Madden numbers. Like, this is Division One football. These are people who got scholarships to play Division One football. I don't care who you are. I mean, look, the game was 70-41. Clearly, neither team, including Buffalo, are that good. But, I mean, they can't defend. I mean, they gave up 30 points against Northern Illinois. They gave up 38 points to Ball State. They're not a great team. It's a conference of just, like, not great players. But there'll be a couple, there'll be a sprinkling in that conference that are good. And Jarrett Patterson probably is the best player head and shoulders in that conference. I mean, I think he showed that. I mean, it doesn't matter what level you play at, if you can consistently perform. It's a little bit like an example of a striker who can score 30 plus a season in League Two. You know, he might, if he knows where the goal is, if he knows where the net is, I'm talking Jamie like Vardy. A Charlie Austin type. If he knows where the net is, Jamie Vardy type, he knows where the net is. And I think Patterson, it's going to, one of the things, I'm starting with a bit of a negative, which I shouldn't do. He's a smaller guy, and he's going to have to grow into his NFL body. But he didn't become the second Buffalo player named to the All-American team for nothing. You know, he's really good between the tackles. He's got like a like a very stout, thick frame. He's actually very good in pass pro, believe it or not. For a smaller guy, he's actually very good in pass pro. And he's very good at kind of taking the hits but keep going. He's a really strong physical runner. He pounds the ball. He's a three down back. You know, if you if odds on, if you give him it three times, he'll get you the first down and more. He's sort of strong and direct of running. He's a very shifty, wiggly. He can spot. He's very good at spotting gaps in the defense. But yeah, the thing that's going to stand in his way is that he's 5'9", under 200 pounds, and additionally, he doesn't tend to do too much in the pass game. Well, actually, I'm lying. He doesn't do anything in the pass game. He's purely a pounding running back. Yeah, I think in 2019, he had 200 yards. I don't think they threw the ball to him once in 2020. He didn't have a single receiving yard, which is obviously a blow. But this guy is coming and as a junior. And one of the things that teams might love is that, wow, we've got that extra 1 year of you know, chance for him to progress. People look at ages and think, oh, great, we've got a younger dude. Look at that extra time he can to progress. But this is a guy who definitely could be a James Robinson. You know, we didn't laugh, but I had James Robinson as an early fourth round pick. And Patterson, legitimately, I can see him maybe. I don't think he'll go. He won't go first. I don't see him going second. This is a guy, because I don't think he's the fourth best running back. I think he's maybe like sixth or seventh. I can see him being a third round pick. I can see him being picked where like a Darrington Evans was or a Keyshawn Vaughn. They were both third round picks, I think. So yeah, I think a team could maybe use a third round on him. Worse, I don't think he's dropping below the fourth round. That's where I had James Robinson going. I had James Robinson going in the Joshua Kelly pick. So yeah, I think mid third round to mid fourth round is his kind of range, but he's had an unbelievable college football college career, and I think there'll be a place for him somewhere in the NFL.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Yeah, definitely rooting for him. Definitely.
Okay. Definitely. Yeah, he's been a favorite on our pod over the last 6 weeks. Suk, we're going to running back number five. Out of nine, we're doing nine guys. I'm nine favorite guys. You're number five. Right. Off you go,
guys. Just before I go into this, can I call a bit of an audible and just do both of these at the same time? The only reason I'm saying is because they're from the same school, and I think it kind of will fit into how I'm talking about these guys. So I think just talking about them together will sort of give the listening audience a good idea of what to expect from these guys. Thank you. So I'm going to be talking about Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, so the running back duo out of the University of North Carolina, the Tar Heels, both coming off, you know, fantastic seasons. Michael Carter is coming off his senior year, whereas Javonte Williams is coming off his junior year. Now, in terms of their sort of tangibles, so Michael Carter is 5'8", 202 pounds. Whereas Javonte Williams is 5'11" and 220 pounds. Michael Carter was a 4-star recruit, whereas Javonte Williams is a 3-star recruit. Now, looking at a lot of things can go into stats, but they can easily be manipulated. And when you look at this, this tells you a lot of, and when you watch the film, it tells you a lot of the story about what kind of backs these guys are. So in terms of actual carries, Michael Carter had 156 and Javonte Williams had 157. However, Michael Carter had 105 more yards. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's the better running back, because we'll go into it, but in terms of their sort of style of play, Michael Carter had more of an average as well, at 8.0, whereas Javonte had 7.3. Now, when I go into detail about the type of style of running backs they are, you'll understand, you know, why, you know, UNC had such a good formula and it was so successful for them this year. So we'll go into Michael Carter first. He's your very quick and elusive running back. He's the kind of running back who finds holes and has, you know, great footwork, a very nimble player. And that word again, contact balance. So, you know, after, you know, having touches, you know, he's someone who can definitely, you know, find that balance and keep the run going. Michael Carter isn't your sort of run-of-the-mill bell cow running back, so he's not someone who you're going to use on all three downs. So he's very much, in the NFL, going to potentially be looking at sort of a committee sort of running back. Now, when you look at Javonte Williams, you may think, okay, if that's the case with Carter, surely the same with Williams. This is where I sort of don't think that will be the case. So looking at one thing that we have not talked about is the number of touchdowns both of these guys got last year. So Michael Carter got 9. Now, you guys might know this, but is it higher or lower than 9 for Javonte Williams? And how many do you think he's got?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I'm not sure of it. I thought for some reason I thought it was very close with the pair of them. They both had a similar amount of touchdowns, but I may be wrong.
So Javonte Williams has 19 touchdowns compared to Michael Carter's 9 rushing. So what that basically
that much.
Yeah, it pretty much is. But what's that showing is that he's been used in these sort of goal line situations as well. For me, Javonte Williams is a great build for a back, you know, looking at his height and weight. He did share the backfield and, you know, from a positive standpoint, he's had less mileage on the clock as well, being his junior year. So I think that's a positive to take into consideration. Yards after contact, he has 4.59 yards after contact, which is the second best in the NCAA. This is Javonte Williams we're talking about. So he can break tackles and he's the leader in broken tackles as well in the NCAA. He also has agility in which he can run in different directions. He's got a very physical style. And what that brings is someone who can potentially play three downs. So I think for me, Javonte Williams is the better back out of these two, which I know a lot of people are mocking Michael Carter. I personally see Javonte Williams as being the better back. And he's someone I stretch to being close to, is another running back I've fallen in love with, basically, and put him, you know, close to Najee Harris and Travis Etienne, just like you did, Tristan, with Gainwell. I have a lot of, bit of a soft spot there for Javonte Williams. One thing that he doesn't have is sort of the long speed. So, you know, when we talk about speed after, you know, a certain amount, he's not gonna get you the 80-yard run, you know, and get you a touchdown. What he's going to do is he's going to get those hard yards for your team. So that when you need, when you're on a third down play and you need 5 yards, he's going to get you those 5 yards. And that's why I sort of have a bit of a comparison to him, like of Le'Veon Bell or even like a Nick Chubb type of player. I think he's someone that a team can get later on in the draft in maybe the third or fourth round, and he could definitely become a running back for the future for them. I'm looking at someone like the Steelers, maybe even the Seahawks. So if Chris Carson's contract situation doesn't materialize, potentially looking at the Seahawks getting Javonte Williams, and they could certainly do with running back help. It's not to say Michael Carter is not going to be a good running back and have a good NFL career. I certainly think he will. But I think what's going to happen is he's going to be used in more, you know, running back by committee situations, which will help his, you know, a team flourish as well. But for me, I think Javonte Williams out of the two is certainly the better running back. A lot of people are going to talk about the Miami game, and that game was absolutely crazy. So between them, they had around 47 carries and around, I mean, we knew it was a record, weren't it? It was like 500 and, I want to say, just under 550 yards and five touchdowns between them. That's rushing the ball. So that's definitely one game that you need to sort of watch out for if you want to watch these two work as a tandem. But there's plenty of game film this year. You got the Virginia Tech game, as well, which I was very impressed with both of them. NC State was another game as well, in which they both worked really well as a tandem. So yeah, definitely look out for Javonte Williams, and see, you know, what the future brings for them. I'm really excited about these two guys.
Yeah, it's easy to fall in love with a running back, and it's sick. All right, I've got two more to go, and I'm just going to bunch one together a bit like you did, not because they're similar, just because they're two backs I think have similar draft value and a little bit different to my first pick. So, start with Chuba Hubbard, running back out of Oklahoma State. Doesn't have breakaway speed, has wonderful movement, solid every down back, can do a little bit of everything. Ball security is one thing I really like about him. He has a career with 0 fumbles. Not ever fumbled at the college level. But doesn't have elite speed, doesn't have elite playmaking ability. Will be a very solid running back. Again, I think 4-4-3 round talent.
And I think someone Hubbard, who I just want this before you move on, jump, but just very, very quickly on Hubbard. He's disappointed this year, hasn't he? Because obviously he had high second round, you know, kind of, he was kind of the first name you'd think of after Etienne and Harris. And he disappointed us a little bit this year, didn't he?
He did. He went from his 2,000-yard season to having about 500. It just didn't work out. This COVID, he was one of the ones that suffered from the COVID schedule and generally just having a few issues there. Yeah, and I think people figured him out a little bit. Like I say, he's very good at making you miss an open space. He's solid at finding a running gap. And a bit like you say with Najee Harris, he plays the game very well to make up for the fact that he's not the quickest running back. He's big enough, but he's not the biggest.
Off the field issues, well, not him, but like those off the field issues at Oklahoma State, wasn't there at the start of the season that may have unsettled him and the team as well, possibly. So
absolutely. But he's someone I still think has value in the NFL. I think a team will have him. He's a solid backup. Even if he's at a number two in a committee, he has a role. 4th to 5th round grade I'd have on him. And this next player I've got, someone I've got a 5th to 6th round grade on. And the reason I originally said, yeah, I'll have a look at this running back, he's the complete opposite of Gainwell. And I thought him and Gainwell could actually be quite a good 1-2 punch. And that's Killian Hill from Mississippi State. Another player who didn't play this year. That was more the issues of surrounding racism and the flag at Mississippi State. But when he did play last year, 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns on 242 attempts. Very good north-south power runner. He doesn't have elite speed. He's not an elite pass catcher playmaker. He's someone who just runs the ball very well, north to south, goes through contact, churns his legs well. Again, if he's, like I said, Gainwell, you might need a power back for the red zone to go along with him. Hill would be that. You wouldn't want to put him in every down. He's not going to give you any big playability. But 3rd and 1, you just need a solid yard and you want, and you haven't got your starting running back. He's a running back that can do that. He churns into contact very well. And someone who I think, again, has upside, has ability to play a role in the NFL. Again, 5th to 6th round pick, just because there's not a lot of recent tape on him and he doesn't have all of the attributes that you would look for in an elite running back.
I was quite high on Hill last year, to be honest. I think he was definitely sort of one of those underrated type running backs. But yeah, like you said, he's not had much. Well, I think he only had like 15 odd carries this year. I wasn't actually aware that it was to do with Ralph or it was COVID related as to why he missed the season.
I believe it was part of that. I do remember seeing somewhere he was a big member of the Mississippi State, because I don't know the whole ins and outs and I'm not ignorant here, but something to do with the state flag in Mississippi has like horribly racist undertones, considering Mississippi is a state with a large black population. And I think with the Black Lives Matter movement earlier in the year, they demanded that there was change, and eventually they got the change they wanted. And I think he said, I won't play until we get this change around the university.
Fair play. Well, I'm going to finish us off then with a running back that, and this is what I think is really interesting to hear from us. We're not experts, but we are guys that watch a lot of college football. And if you're relatively new to college football, and maybe even this season, this podcast has helped inspire you to sort of pick it up. If you watch the All-State Sugar Bowl, when Ohio State beat Northwestern, and if you watch the college playoff semifinal, if you watch the All-State Sugar Bowl against Clemson, if you watch the Big Ten championship game against Northwestern, apologies, you would have seen a guy at running back for the Ohio State Buckeyes called Trey Sermon. And if you watch those two games, one in which he had 331 yards and 2 touchdowns, in a game where Justin Fields mightly struggled with an injured hand, Trey Sermon put the entire Buckeyes on his back and won the game almost single-handedly against the Wildcats. Against Clemson, he was vital. They probably wouldn't have won that game without him. With 193 yards and a touchdown, he had an excellent game. If I haven't said, imagine watching Trey Sermon in those two games, and this guy could very well be a 6th-round pick, you'd probably look at me and think I was absolutely mental, because he's just had 2 ridiculously good games in 2 massive, massive games. But that is a reality with Trey Sermon, that he could be, he is expected to be a day three pick. I've not seen anywhere mock him higher than the fifth. Trey Sermon is 6 foot one and 215 pounds and a very physical runner. You know, he it reminds me a little bit of Zach Moss with his running. He churns his legs always to get that extra yard after contact, and he does have a very good stiff arm. But he isn't super quick. He's lost a lot of playing time, both in high school with a back injury, a serious back injury, and a knee injury when he was where was he at? I'm forgetting where he did, because he was
Oklahoma. Ohio State.
That's it. He's a transfer this year to Ohio State. He had a knee injury that kept him out of games in 2019 as a junior. But as again, this is the thing with, you have to be seriously good at everything else if you don't have speed if you're a running back like Najee Harris. But he just doesn't pull away in the open field. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because he had two phenomenal games in Ohio State's two biggest games of the season at that time. Obviously, against Alabama, he didn't do anything. I don't know if he got injured, but he had one rush for 2 yards. I think. But this guy, he had a very pretty good season, to be fair. He didn't hit 100 yards until his fifth game. The first four games, he had 48, 56, 68, and 60, and no touchdowns. So if I said to you, this guy's probably going to go day three, you would have believed me. But then to kind of have, over 600 yards in your next three games at Michigan State in a Big Ten championship and a college playoff semifinal, he balled out. So I think he'll be an interesting prospect. So, and I think he'll definitely be picked in day three. I can see him maybe getting picked in the fifth round because he's a guy who's done it on a big stage. There's nothing too special about his play. He's not a product of the Ohio State regime. You know, he was a transfer after the Buckeyes lost J.K. Dobbins. You know, they needed a guy to come and be running back one for a bit. They had no one really in the pipeline, apart from maybe no one experienced in the pipeline. There was no next junior up type thing to be sort of that next generation of running back. But he did a good job. I think he's probably going to be a day three pick. What's your opinions on Sermon? Do you agree with me that if you watched the Big Ten Championship, then you watched the college playoff semifinal, and that's all you watched of college football, was not until that point that you could watch Sermon and think, well, bloody hell, this guy's amazing. No way could he be a fifth round pick.
Yeah, I can see why you think that. Again, he's a body of work guy, isn't he? He doesn't have a longevity body of work. He has a hot streak, and a hot streak doesn't translate to the next level. If he'd had a whole season where he was averaging, you know, if he had like a Najee Harris season or even Najee Harris last year sort of season, you'd have probably put him a bit higher. It's risk reward. You take a risk by drafting him anywhere above fifth, but there could be the reward. Most teams will wait until the fifth round because he doesn't have that elite speed. You're right. But he's a solid ball carrier. He's got decent contact balance and good play strength. He's got enough to be a power back again, to play a role in the NFL and to have carries. It's just, can you expand on his body of work and make that a more constant thing?
Yeah, I had to rub my eyes against Northwestern. Is that Sermon or is that Derrick Henry? I couldn't quite work it out.
Good ball out.
Suck.
Yeah, I mean, just as a comparison, I'd probably trust, even though we're talking about the level of competition, I'd probably still rather go for someone like, you know, Patterson over Sermon based on body of work. Taking out the competition out of the equation. So, yeah, I think your assumption of Sermon is spot on, to be fair.
And again, something about Sermon, he has Hold on. He has played. How many games has he played in? I had it in front of me a second ago. He's played in 45 career games, and he has two fumbles, one which was lost. So and the one that was lost was in his freshman season. So
yeah.
A relatively good ball security as well. I can imagine he's pretty good in pass pro. Yeah, I think he'll definitely get picked up. You can't do what he did in some of those big games and not get picked up. But yeah. It's all about whether
Master T is probably the better running. We're definitely the running better running back out of the two.
Yes, I'd agree. So, but is he a sophomore? Or is he? I'm not sure.
Master T is.
He's a sophomore. Yeah, so he's a sophomore. So even he probably, as I said, yeah, there you go. They didn't have a junior ready and waiting, so they obviously needed that. They couldn't put all the eggs in the basket of Teague, last season for a team like Ohio State. Yeah, exactly. But he'll be a junior next year, Teague, so he'll be ready to go. Gents, yeah, so there are running backs to look out for. There'll be plenty of others. I'm just going to quickly, looking at this list, I'm going to just read very, very quickly off a few names and any of your thoughts, just these guys we haven't mentioned. Actually, I'm only going to talk about three. Anyone know much about Ramondre Stevenson from Oklahoma?
He's a running back, nothing really strikes out to me about him. Solid, just... I can't buy into him too much. He was decent for Oklahoma. I haven't deep dived his tape yet.
I haven't either, if I'm honest. But one reason why we might want to do that is he's 246 pounds.
Wow.
He's a monster.
He's the heaviest. I mean, apart from Najee Harris, he's a good, like, 2 stone heavier than every other running back. Apart from Najee Harris, which is
they liked him at the scene a little bit crazy. I heard a lot of people say they were quite impressed with him.
I've watched bits of Oklahoma over the year and noticed him. I just haven't, like I say, I haven't deep dived the tapes, but what I have seen of him, there's nothing that really blows me away.
I've got Elijah Mitchell at Louisiana. He's a guy to be honest. I don't know. I didn't watch too much Raging Cajun football. I've heard his name a little bit. But he's a guy on the board to look at. But the last guy is the lightest guy on this list. But we have both been speaking about him. And we were actually put onto him, weren't we, by former New York Giant Owe Adegbuzie, Demetric Felton.
Yeah.
He had a fantastic senior bowl. He's only 186 pounds. I like to think of him as like an Antonio Gibson light.
He's a player that doesn't have a position, like, does he? He's just an offensive weapon. Because you can't really call him a running back, but he's not quite a wide receiver. He's not a tight end. He's put him somewhere and he will make something happen. But
like Miko Hardman, I find him a bit like that. Yeah. Like, he is a receiver technically, but like as a receiver, out and out receiver, I'm a bit like, meh. But he's better. The times we notice Miko Hardman's name is not when he's catching a pass as a receiver, it's when he's doing a gadget play.
Yeah, and I think
return.
I think Felton will be very similar. I think a team will pick him up in the later rounds as a gadget player and hoping that he goes in a similar position and does a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Lynn Bowden Jr. and Antonio Gibson were those two gadget players this year, and one worked out fantastically well and one's not really worked out.
He's traded away.
Yeah, he's done a bit with Miami towards the end of the season, but his time needs to come still. But yeah, Felton is definitely not an every down back, but somebody will want him for at some point for what he can do with his ingenuity and creativity. Gents, it's been a pleasure as always. Next week we will be back, ladies and gents, with looking at the wide receiver core of this year. Spoiler alert, we already think there's quite a few more first round prospects than there is running back first round prospects, right, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah, reckon there could be five, maybe four, five, maybe even six going in the first round. You never know, but there's at least five or six who could go in the first round. But who are they, and where do we have them in our rankings? we will let you know. So anyway, take care, ladies and gents. Have a great week. The road to redemption of the UK is out now with Boris's message. So we
don't mess it up.
Hopefully,
don't mess it up. We might get NFL in London this year, guys.
Exactly.
Don't.
He's already good about Nebraska.
Yes, I will just say before we go, ladies and gents, if you don't know, the college football game between Nebraska and Illinois in Ireland this year in Dublin has gone the same way as the game against Notre Dame and Navy last year. It has been cancelled. What I have read, though, I have read on the College Football Ireland website is that those teams, Notre Dame, Navy, and Nebraska and Illinois, are still committed to playing a fixture. So it might be 2027 or something. Or 2020, I'm joking. Hopefully, it's more like a 2023 or something, or 20 something. That game is still hopefully going to go ahead at some point. So, none of the players who are there now, it's for all the freshmen will be seniors, but and maybe Nebraska will actually be a Big Ten challenger. Then we can dream. Don't laugh at me. Laugh at me. All right, maybe not. All right, okay. Take it easy, guys.
Take it easy, everyone.
Have a good one.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye.